Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Natstown. Welcome to the All-Star Break, and welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Doghouse from Federal Baseball and Dave Nichols from the District Sports page on the line. After the Nationals improved to 48-39, finish out the first half with a 3-2 win, take 2-3 from the Orioles in the Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Dave, we'll start with Max Scherzer on the mound. Gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, and 4 2/3 against Cincinnati last time out in his shortest start of the season. Just didn't have it, as he said, after that start. 9-7 on the year with back after back-to-back losses, 2.12 ERA, 2.03 FIP, 1.02 walks per 9, 10.44 K per 9, 188, 219, 296 line against, and 123 and a third innings pitch so far this year in the first year of his 7-year, $210 million deal. Pitching today, so no All-Star game for Scherzer, though he said he's going to go to Cincinnati. Look sharp early, 2 Ks to start the game before Adam Jones hit a 1-2 curve out to left. Solo home run, made it 1-0, 13 straight set down after that. No walks in 31 innings pitch before today's game. No walks in 40 innings pitch by the time he was done. 2-out home run by Adam Jones in the ninth. Ends his night. They bring on Drew Storen to get the save there. He gives up 4 hits total on the day. 8 2/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, both runs on the home runs by Jones, 7 Ks, 115 pitches, 80 strikes. Way to bounce back for Max Scherzer and a really solid end to a fantastic first half in the first year of his big free agent deal.
4 hits, 2 earned runs, 7 strikeouts. Just a pedestrian start for Max Scherzer.
Didn't flirt with perfection or anything.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's almost routine and not very exciting to talk about when he turns in just a normal, typical, awesome outing as opposed to a potential historic or exceptional outing. But, 115 pitches, that's a lot. I mean, we know that, anything over 100 is going to start taxing on the pitcher. But I suppose that Matt Williams did what he thought he needed to do, since he's got the All-Star break and Scherzer's not going to pitch, and you might as well get as many pitches out of him as you can. But then did the responsible thing and brought Storen in there to get the last strikeout to end the game. But, we joke about it, but this is who Max Scherzer is in the National League. I mean, he's going from the American League, where they've got the designated hitter, and come over here where he gets to face a pitcher 2 or 3 times a game and some later hitting middle infielders. And, obviously they faced an American League team today, but this is who he is. I mean, he's continued excellence, and he seems like a very good investment for the Nationals up until this point.
Doghouse, Matt Williams has talked about it a lot. I continue to be impressed by the way Max Scherzer can just dial it up as he goes along, too. He goes out there at 100 pitches in the ninth inning. First couple pitches he throws, 95, 96, 97, just comes and reaches back for something extra there. Really dominant outing here. One of the best pitchers I've seen. And, we've had some solid pitching from the Nationals over the last couple of years, but this is kind of another level here from Max Scherzer, what we've seen from him. And you see some of these big free agents struggle, kind of prove that they deserve the contract they got out there. But Matt Williams has been worth every penny so far in the first half.
Yeah, I'm assuming you meant Max Scherzer there when you said Matt Williams. But
yes, Max Scherzer.
Matt
Williams
is worth it, too. Yeah. maybe not $210 million, but whatever whatever they're paying him. I was all set to do my typically snarky, oh, he only got 26 outs, what are we paying him $30 million for this year? But, I can't even. He's just too good. Another impressive outing, I hinted a little bit in my postgame, I'm beginning to worry a little bit that he goes long so many times. I mean, is that arm going to wear out and fall off or something? I mean, he's kind of shown that he's got the endurance for it. And the way, like Justin Verlander did back when he was good, he seems to get stronger, deeper in the game. He's got this reserve that even at 100 pitches, even in the ninth inning, he can dial back and get 95-plus and with excellent command. We may not get this for every year of his contract, but if we get it for half of that, and then he drops down to merely a league average pitcher for the rest of it, it seems like it'll be some money well spent.
And you just got to love the enthusiasm, too, stalking around the mound after he gets out, pumping his fist after strikeouts. He's really into the game and kind of brings everyone along with him. We got fans on Twitter really enjoying what they're seeing from him so far this season. Just a dominant first half from Max Scherzer, and hope for more of the same in the second. I hope he doesn't tire out like you mentioned. But, Dave, we'll go to you for the trivia question for today since it's related to the home runs that were hit off of Scherzer. Adam Jones, his first home run tied him for eighth all-time in an Orioles uniform, Orioles history, with someone with a connection to the Nationals. Do you have any idea who he tied for eighth and then passed with his second home run?
Oh, wow. Connection with the Nationals? Davey Johnson?
I was going to say, you have a 50-50 chance. I didn't give you the clue, but if not Davey Johnson, Doghouse, who do you think he tied for eighth and then passed with his second home run?
Oh, gosh. Frank Robinson.
There's a chance. There you go. 179 home runs in a Orioles uniform for Frank Robinson. 180 now for Adam Jones. Orioles uniform, yes. Both of them managed both teams afterwards. So, way to go, Adam Jones. Two home runs off of Scherzer today for the only two runs he gave up. I have to stop reading things as I'm asking questions because I'm misplacing words left and right. But Dave will go. Doghouse, weigh in Chen on the mound tonight. Six start unbeaten streak since May 30th with a 2.23 ERA, 2.15, 2.65, 3.95 line against over that stretch. 4-4 on the year, 2.86 ERA, 4.43 FIP. 233, 283, 425 line against in 102 innings pitched this year. 1-2, though, 6.60 ERA, 338, 394, 600 line, and 3 start, 15 innings pitched versus the Nats for today. One really impressive stat they mentioned on the Orioles broadcast, a 0.091 batting average against with the runners in scoring position so far this year. 3 scoreless, but the Nats rally with 2 down on the 4th. Clint Robinson and Dan Uglas with singles. Yunel Escobar scores on Uglas. Tyler Moore comes up with 2 outs. It's a 2-out double, right center gap to make it 3-1 at that point. Ends up being the game winner. A nice start by Wei Yin Chen. Really solid outing by him, actually. I haven't seen too much of the left-hander, but he was impressive today. But Tyler Moore came up with a big hit there that put the Nationals ahead 3-1 and ends up a 3-2 win.
Yeah, he certainly made the Nationals look foolish in the first half of the game there. I guess he is sneaky fast, drink for using an FPism, even though I don't think he uses that one that much anymore, with sort of slow delivery that accelerates there at the end. He got people chasing high fastballs. You know, he got Harper a couple of times on that. But, you know, this lineup, much as it is held together with baling wire string and, you know, soggy duct tape that's kind of coming apart, the bench players and the unheralded prospects, if we can put it that way, are managing to come through in the big situations here. You know, Ugla, who certainly was somebody no one was expecting to see even on the roster on opening day, but is getting starts and actually being productive when he's given a chance to succeed here. He drew a walk and showed a nice batting eye today. And perennial candidate for the best heap, Tyler Moore, comes through with some solid hits today and some pretty decent defense at first. We saw him make that great stretch to dial in the back end of the double play yesterday when he practically did the splits. A couple of nice plays on hard hit line drives today. He's showing that he can be successful at the position there. I don't know if that's going to turn into trade value or he's just going to continue being a useful bench piece, but either way, it's nice to see him having a little bit of resurgence. And let's cross our fingers that he can keep it going. And also that we get one of the regulars in there at first. I'm looking at you, Ryan Zimmerman, and hopefully your custom fit orthotics to get back there at first not too long after the trade.
Dave, I looked up Tyler Moore's numbers the other day. I don't have them in front of me, but last 15 games he's hitting over 300 now that he's getting regular at bats and getting his timing down a little there. Clint Robinson hitting .275 on the year after going 2-for-4 today. Matt Dendecker, Dan Uglas, like Doghouse mentioned, all getting at bats. If there's one silver lining, is what I wrote the other day, is that when and if they get these guys, their everyday starters back healthy, they're going to have gotten these bench bats and backup fielders a lot of at-bats over the first half of the year, maybe get their timing a little bit better going down the stretch. So the last 2 months of the season, these guys are kind of locked in and able to provide a little more than they normally would off of the bench.
It's pretty amazing. You mentioned the record at the start of the show. It's pretty amazing the Nationals have a 2-game lead at the All-Star break, considering they've played their backups for most of the first half. You mentioned Moore, you mentioned Robinson, you mentioned Ugla, you mentioned Dan Decker, Michael Taylor, who certainly wasn't scheduled to be a starter at the beginning of the year, Danny freaking Espinosa, who was in a battle for a spot during spring training, practically being the Nats MVP here in the first half. All of these guys have been significant contributors, while Denard Span and Ryan Zimmerman and Jason Wirth and Anthony Rendon languish on the bench and get next to nothing out of Ian Desmond. So, you know, kudos to the Nats bench brigade here, carrying this team to a 2-game lead at the All-Star break. If the Nats get healthy in the second half, and I'm not sure that I'm not sure what kind of production they're going to get out of Zimmerman and Jason Wirth, but if they can get Denard Span healthy into the lineup every day, if at some point Anthony Rendon comes back, you know, if they get healthy going down the stretch, they're just going to run away in this division. You know, people have baseball pundits have given the Nats a hard time that they haven't run away with it already, and in they've made fun of the National League East being a very weak division, and it is a very weak division. But these haven't been the Nationals; they've been the Syracuse Chiefs plus the Nats the starting rotation. So it's remarkable to me that the Nats have a lead in the division to begin with, let alone run away with it.
I go back to both of you for this one last question about today's action, and we'll go into a little first half wrap sort of action after that. But Ian Desmond continues to struggle. Dughouse 0-for-3 with a K today. What will it take? Will anything lead to Matt Williams sitting him? We saw a few years back Danny Espinosa struggled. He was probably better with the glove, and that kept him in the lineup a little longer. Ian Desmond obviously has, you know, the resume and the stats to back up keeping him in there and letting him figure it out. Tom Boswell wrote the other day in the Washington Post that there's no way you end up sitting him. You keep running him out there and rely on the fact that he has that track record, which says he'll get back to it. But the Nationals are competing for a division title. They're leading the division now. They are two months plus left in the regular season going forward. Is there a point at which you sit Ian Desmond, bring up Trey Turner, or throw Danny Espinosa, possibly Wilmer Difo out there, and sit Ian Desmond, in, which would be a horrible outcome for him in his contract year, but really just not doing it so far this season. 2.11 average going into the break after over 3 day today.
Yeah, this has just been a terrible year for Desmond. He's done so well for so long, and now he's basically become the caricature of all his negative traits with none of the countervailing positive ones. That said, I think it is pretty darn unlikely that he gets moved to reserve status. Just my sort of my impression of how the organization views him and the fact that he keeps giving us these little flashes. Okay, he hasn't gotten so many hits at all, but today he only struck out once. And I can see that being fun as a positive in the Nats brain trust. And he's almost got it figured out. One thing I may expect to see is that he might start getting some days off in the second half. I don't think he's going to get sat, but I think we might see him sitting down once a week.
Dave, I'm kind of with Dughouse and the fact that I don't think they're going to sit him down. They'll rely on that track record and him coming through eventually. But is there any point you think that they go with someone else at short?
Well, if they get Anthony Rendon back and they need to put him at second base and Danny Espinosa is still on his way to 20 home runs, then we saw earlier when Anthony Rendon was back that they were trying to get as many as still get Espinosa at bat. So I could see a scenario where it becomes a co-op at shortstop. Sure, especially if it's August 1st and Desmond is still hitting 210 or 215.
Quick first half wrap questions here. Dughouse, Bryce Harper goes into the break, tied for second in majors with 26 home runs. He's third in the MLB with walks going into today's game. I don't think he walked today. No, he didn't. with 63 walks on the year, fifth in RBIs, all career highs so far in just the first half of the season, really kind of putting up MVP numbers, as we mentioned last night, and dominant first half by Bryce Harper. I'd assume offensively, at least, he's got to be the MVP for the Nationals in the first half.
I think there's no question about that at all. You look at that one real hot streak he had a little earlier in the season, when it just seemed like you could blindfold him at the plate and he could either take a walk or hit a dinger. And he just knew, it was almost supernatural, his perception of the strike zone and his ability to make contact if he got a pitch that was somewhere he liked it. He's fallen back to earth a little bit since then, although he's still batting .340 and slugging over .700. I think if he gets another hot stretch in the second half, you know, we could be looking seriously at a 10-win season. As it is, maybe he only gets 7 or 8 if he has an average, and I'm making quotes with my fingers, season for Harper. So, yeah, and MVP for the Nats, certainly. I think it's hard to imagine him not being pretty high up in the MVP for the NL conversation.
Dave, I'd imagine Harper kind of running away with that MVP for the team. Offensively, Max Scherzer, little doubt that he's kind of been the MVP on the pitching staff so far. Drew Storen put together a great first half, but we were handing out her first half awards. Is there any game that sticks out for you as the best? I noted Max Scherzer's no-hitter just because I was in the park. I mean, well, that's not the only reason. It was actually a pretty good start on top of that, but getting to watch that one live, the first no-hitter I've attended, was pretty amazing. The other one that really stuck out for me was that comeback against the Braves. And after kind of scuffling to that point, they came back from a huge deficit. Dan Uggla hit a big home run and kind of unified the bench and got everyone on board. And they kind of went on a nice run after that. But those are the two games that stick out for me. Any performance or game in particular stick out for you so far in the first half?
Well, you know, obviously those two stand out the most. I mean, the game against the Braves was just one of those ridiculous every 4 or 5 season games where you see a team come down from that many runs that late in the ball game. The extra added schadenfreude that it was Uggla that did the nail in the coffin against the Braves while the Braves are still paying him billions and billions of dollars. You know, that was just a fun little added bonus to it. Scherzer's no-no, just fantastic. You know, especially when you combine it with the one-hitter, just an historic couple of stretches there. Probably more impressive back-to-back performances than Johnny Vandermeer's back-to-back no-hitters. You know, he walked a bunch in one of them, you know, back in the 50s. So really just a couple of neat standouts. But, you know, let's talk about the play of Michael Taylor here. I mean, here's a guy that if things had gone the way that the Nats planned, he'd still be in the minor leagues, you know, in preparation for taking over for Denard Span in center field next year. And he's up here contributing on defense on a nightly basis. He's giving the Nats some pop. You can see him working through some of the issues that he still has en route to becoming a daily big leaguer. I mean, he had some base running issues early in the season, and he's doing much better with that now. He seems like he's got a little bit better approach. He's a little bit more patient at the plate. So I think there are a couple of first-half MVPs. You know, obviously Harper with his numbers, but we mentioned Danny Espinosa in the fact that Rendon's been out and Desmond's been absent. Michael Taylor, same way, taking advantage of his playing time. So, you know, especially with Taylor, this is the future of the Nationals, and it's nice to see him progressing as he is, as quickly as he is this season.
So, Cass, any plays or games in particular stand out for you in the first half, or maybe a defensive play that caught your attention stands out? Danny Espinosa's double play last night was one of the better ones I've seen, but there have been a lot of impressive plays by the Nationals in the first half.
No, that was certainly a real standout for me. Watching Denard Span on any given night, for all the progress that Michael Taylor has made, and Dave is right to single him out for what a gem in the rough he has proven to be here, and not so rough, actually. Span can really go get it. And almost any given night you're watching him in the outfield, it's going to be a good one. I feel like we haven't had enough opportunity to give the Span fielding love on the show here tonight. But I will mention, since we were talking about Harper just a second ago, his 6-home run in 3-game stretch, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And we'll end on a great quote from Bryce Harper as well. Chelsea James at the Washington Post, Bryce Harper on what he wants to improve in the next half. Harper says, well, I'm pretty mad. I dropped below 340 today, so I guess he wants to improve on that. That's end the first half. 48-39, 23-23 on the road, which is impressive, 25-16 at home so far. They start a series with the L.A. Dodgers next weekend in the nation's capital Friday night. So it'll be a nice series to start the second half and a nice matchup for the Nationals to see what they can do going forward. We'll see at least one National Bryce Harper in the All-Star game coming up. Max Scherzer's not going to pitch after he went today, but he'll be there in Cincinnati to celebrate getting a name for the All-Star game. Matt's Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and FederalBaseball.com. Enjoy a few days off, gentlemen, and we'll talk to you Friday night.
Go Nats.